Father, lift our hearts in gratitude, appreciation, in love. Lord, you've said that where there are those who are gathered together, gathered, Lord, in spirit, attitude, Lord, our heart attitude, seeking that which is of eternal value and substance. We thank you, Lord, this evening, Lord, we're gathered. And you've said, Lord, that you are present. When we're gathered in you, and you in us, you're present. And we ask, Lord, that release of the very substance of your being, your life imparted into our lives. We marvel, Lord, that that is possible. But you created us in your image and likeness, that your very life can be imparted into our lives, that we, Lord, can become the expression of your life in the earth. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. And I ask this evening, Lord, that that which is spoken will glorify you, will lift us into a higher level of active relationship. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Grant us, Lord, to hear a ear. Receptivity, Lord, that your word will be quickened and imparted into our being as spiritual life and substance. And I would ask, Lord, a prophetic tongue, that your word, quickened, anointed, and empowered, will come forth to accomplish your will in all that you intend and desire. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I'm going to start where we were this morning and sort of a little bit of repetition, which is good. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Speaks of 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands in the book of Revelation. And my understanding of that is this, that there are 10,000 choirs in heaven with 10,000 in each choir. And thousands of thousands mean that there's thousands and thousands of 10,000 choirs with 10,000 in each choir. That's bigger than the national debt. Amen.
Amen.
That's huge. In other words, heaven, eternity, is huge. Far more than we realize. And I believe that there are habitations out there, but totally different than man. Man was uniquely created in the image and likeness of God, with the capacity to relate, to commune, to fellowship. A verse that I love in Psalms, deep calls to deep. The first deep is a capital D, the second one a small d. It's God finding satisfaction in humanity. Why? Because humanity was created with a free will. Man was allowed. Jesus was slain from before the foundation of the world. Therefore, the Lord knew what was going to happen. And I mentioned tares this morning, the tares of the Lord that let both grow together. The reason being, it's easier not to serve the Lord than it is to serve the Lord. But for those who serve the Lord is gaining something that he could never have in any other way. Could not create it, nor find it. He created man in his image and in his likeness. That is a very high creation. No one else in the universe, no matter who was created, what's out there, only mankind was ever created in the image and likeness of God. That is distinctly given to man for a high order. Now we have it here. Behold, I stand at the door. This door speaks of entrance into your life. A direct entrance of the Lord into your life personally. The Lord is knocking because he's seeking entrance into an active personal relationship. That's what we said this morning. Maintaining an active personal relationship, that those that don't do that, that just rely on a preacher that come and sit as a congregation. You know, spectator sports, that's a big thing. And thousands of people, 10,000s of people come to watch a team perform. And they pay pretty good money. And they sit and watch somebody perform and they find satisfaction. That is not Christianity. The Lord placed ministry in the body, not like a spectator sport. You have a team that functions and everybody else sits and watches. But rather, the ministry is set in, and we shared this morning, to equip the body for the work of ministry. So the work of ministry is where? It's in the body, not in the pulpit. The purpose in the pulpit is to equip the church for the work of ministry, to do ministry. Where do we do it? In the marketplace, wherever we are. We become, give expression. The Lord, because he's called man into a unique and high calling, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, again and again in the book of Revelation, there are seven churches. To each one of the seven churches, the Lord said, let him who hath an ear hear, to all seven churches. Matthew chapter 13, I mentioned this morning, is one of the most important chapters in all of the Bible. And right in the middle of chapter 13, let him who hath an ear hear. There's something unique there. We're going to digress for just a minute. Matthew chapter 13, and then we're coming back to Revelation. This was like a major turning point. The book, The Mysteries of the Kingdom, was written out of a statement here. I was reading this one day. Verse 9. Who hath ears to hear? Not physical ears, not words. Not this. And we're hearing, and I thank the Lord for it. Who hath ears to hear? That's the ear of the Spirit, that we're hearing deeper spiritual truth, the very heart of God being imparted, because we were created in the image of God, and the likeness, the very life of God, can be imparted into humanity. Because we were created for that. Therefore, there's to be an active personal relationship. Who hath ears to hear, his disciples came, verse 10. Lord, why are you speaking in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. Now, in the simplicity of my mind, it's given to you to know the mysteries, but to them. So I said, oh, in any meeting, there's two types of people. This is absolutely profound. There's yous and thems. It's what it says in any meeting. Because Jesus is ministry. Now, here it's different. Sunday night, you're here because you chose to be here. You paid a price to be here. The world's not here. They're out school going. But we're here. So, we are yous. You know, a lot of ministries get up in the pulpit and spend most of their sermon telling people what's wrong. We don't need to. We already know what's wrong. We don't need to be told. We need to be told the way of entrance into the presence of God.
Amen.
Into an active relationship. And once we enter into an active relationship, those things will find their proper outworking. We don't need to be told what's wrong. It's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it's not given. So I started to pray. Now, in most places, if I walked in, And I stood up and prayed this prayer. They would think there was a loose gear. I'll guarantee it. This is my prayer. And I prayed this. I began to actively pray this every day. Lord, I want to be a you and not a them. Now you go out someplace in another church and get up and say, Lord, I want to be a you and not a them. And I hate to tell you what they're going to think. But that's what it says. And that's what I pray. It's given to you to know what? The mysteries of the kingdom. That's deeper truth. There's layers of truth within the Word of God. There's the surface meaning, but beneath that, there's deeper layers. And when we are spiritually oriented, quickened, and activated by the Lord, we're going to come into these deeper layers of spiritual truth. Glory. Thank you, Lord. It's given to you to know, but to them it's not given. Lord, I want to be a you. The result was the book, The Mysteries of the Kingdom, Unlocking the Mysteries of the Kingdom. And I thank the Lord for it. That was written prophetically out of that prayer. Now we're going to come back to Revelation chapter 3. The rest of this, there was two prayers. That was the one that I began to pray. I stand at the door and knock, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him. Into. It's two words here, into. But it's into, and that means within. He's going to come within our lives. So we're all trying to go there, and the Lord's trying to come here. And so we get so taken up with someday we're all going to heaven, when the Lord's trying to what? I'll come. If you'll open your heart, if you'll look, if you'll open the door, I'll come into your life. So there's a very active, present working of the Lord where He desires to come in a greater measure within our lives. I will come into Him and will sup with Him, He with me. That is, He receives from us. Why? Because of the commitment, we're created the image and likeness. Because we're heeding that, we're obeying it, we're resisting the tares, the works of the enemy to destroy us. And I'm going to come back to that in a minute that I shared this morning. I will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcomes. Now, how do we overcome? It's real simple. We choose God rather than the temporal satisfaction. If I'm comfortably in bed and the Lord says, get up and pray, and I said, but I'm comfortable, I'm tired, I got a busy day tomorrow, I really need my sleep, Lord, maybe another day, I will have lost something eternally. I would have lost something. Lord, I'm very comfortable and warm, and it's cold. I don't want to get up, it's cold. To him that overcomes, what does that mean? I choose the higher, the will of God. It's not always convenient. In fact, most of the time, the Lord comes at an inconvenient time to see if we're really interested. He does it on purpose. He'll come at an inconvenient time if we'll turn aside and choose Him. Walter Butler, a man that walked with God, told some stories that I almost cringe and I say, Lord, please don't ever ask me any of that. Obedience, that just caused like misunderstandings with people, high level of obedience to the Lord, where he was under pressure, had to obey the Lord rather than what people expected. And he would obey the Lord. And all through his life, the Lord appeared to him regularly. He told many a time when he was in a very difficult situation, and all at once the Lord was standing at the foot of his bed and spoke a word and then disappeared. Many a time he had a unique walk with the Lord. I will come into him, I will sup with him and he with me. That's an active relationship. I'll sup with him and he with me. So I seek for that. Lord, I ask, I desire that active personal relationship where I can respond, where I can hear. So probably the top priority in my life, spiritually speaking, Lord, no matter how well I hear, I want to hear better. No matter how available you are, Lord, I desire to be more available. No matter how close I am, no matter how close an active relationship I have, Lord, there's more. There's something beyond what I presently have. And I seek, Lord, actively to go beyond that which I presently have. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne. That's the bride. The bridegroom, the king, the queen, the bride. The Lord is preparing a people that have chosen him, that will be seated with him in that day. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. After this I looked, and in your Bible, it will say, after this I looked, and behold, the door was opened. If you look carefully, the word was is in italics. That means it doesn't belong. It was added by the translators because they thought they understood better than the author what he was trying to say. And they missed it. They really missed it. Not I looked and the door was opened. I looked and the door opened. When did the door open? When he looked. Exactly. That's what it says. And they ruined it by putting the word was. Because the door opened when he looked. I looked and the door opened. The first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up here, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit to behold the throne. That's government, that's kingdom. That means I've entered into an active relationship with the Lord. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me. Now, I shared this morning. I asked the Lord some time ago about Satan, about fallen angels, about a free will. And I always thought they did not have a free will, and the Lord said they do. Because I said, well, if they do, then how do we know this would never happen again? Well, as clear as I'm talking to you, the Lord spoke to me and said, it will never happen again because it will never be permitted. Satan continued because he was permitted. Because the Lord said, I'm using him to perfect a body of overcomers. To him that overcomes. You cannot overcome unless what? You've got something to overcome. And so the Lord is so anxious for overcomers, he's given us all kinds of things so we can qualify, so we can overcome. But Satan is there, and the Lord's permitted him to function. Now, I used to think that Satan wanted to take God's place. I will ascend. I'll be like the Most High. Well, we're called to be in the image and likeness. We were created in the image and likeness. In the new creation, when we're born again, we're saved, that image is restored. It was lost. We lost our attachment to the tree of life, and we became attached to the tree of knowledge through transgression. The tree of knowledge, good, this is right, this is wrong. This is good, this is bad. That's a lot of religion. Right and wrong, good and bad. That's not where the Lord lived. He lived in the tree of life. The opposite of life is what?
Death.
Death. In the tree of knowledge, the opposite of good is bad. Good and bad, right and wrong. That's not where we're to live. So I carefully detach myself each day from the tree of knowledge because I'm making decisions, right and wrong, good and bad. I end up attached to the tree of knowledge, and I reattach myself to the tree of life, and I receive the life of the Lord flowing from life, and I receive his life flowing into my life. Come up, and I will show you things must be hereafter. Now, the first part of my prayer is this. I want to be of you and not of them. The second part, come up. Lord, you said, come up and I will show you things which must be hereafter. And I am actively asking the Lord. I have a very specific dealing from the Lord that I am to be in Washington, D.C. And my being there has to do with bringing the United States into a millennial kingdom relationship. And I have that calling. And the Lord is showing me what to do. And right now we're on a toboggan slide headed downhill. But through intervention, through the workings of the Lord, there's a separation beginning to take place in a turning. And the Lord is telling me He is not finished with the United States. There's a turning going to come. And there's a time yet. There's a time yet when this nation will turn and serve the Lord. And this nation, the United States, is to be brought into an alignment with the principles of the millennial kingdom. And the Lord's going to do that and accomplish it. Now, because man was called to be seated in the throne with the Lord as his bride in this intimacy of relationship, Satan, being a created angel, said, I want that.
Yeah.
And the Lord said, you can't have it. That's reserved for mankind. It's a unique purpose. I'm going to create a man. Jesus was slain from before the foundation of the world. So Satan knew from way back, before the world was formed, he knew what the Lord was going to do. And he said, I want that place. And because he was told he couldn't have it, he rebelled with the intention of destroying the one that was to come into that. So we have an active warfare against us. Satan seeking to destroy or come against us. So then, the second part of my prayer, come up. Come up into that higher layer of relationship. But the tares, all those things that hinder, I have to overcome. But to him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me. So I have an opportunity. Now, Matthew chapter 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins. 10 is the number of completion. And I'm going to change this. I'm just going to say 10 Christians. Or 10 is the meeting. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to all those that are attending the church at Agape Fellowship on this Sunday evening. That's exactly what the word is, a present word. And some of you were taught 10 virgins, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish, the wise entered in. Some of you were taught 5 were saved, some were lost. Was any ever taught that?
Yes.
Some of you probably were. 5 were saved, 5 were not saved. That is, all 10 are saved. 10 virgins. They, 10 virgins that took their lamps. The lamp is salvation. It's the light. The light of the Lord Jesus Christ imparted in salvation. They all had lamps. All 10 of them were going to meet the bridegroom. The wise took oil in their vessels. They were foolish, took their lamps, and took no oil with them. So all of them were seeking the Lord. But 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. So then, all the wise are on this side, all the foolish are on this side. No, that's not it. That's not it at all. That's that church. A lot of you have been hurt by things like that. I think you know exactly what I mean. Judging. And criticism. 5 and 5 is 10. That's an integral number. That means each one of us is 50% wise and 50% foolish. And we cast the deciding vote as to whether it will be with the wise or the foolish. That's the way that reads accurately. If we're wise, we'll take oil. What does that mean? What I said this morning. Maintaining what?
Relationship.
An active relationship. That's the oil. The 5 foolish were satisfied to come to hear a good message and go home and said, that was good. We'll come back next week. And then they live out their life. So that their religion or spirituality is like salt that flavors their life. It's not their life. It's something that flavors their life. But to those who are the elect, are called, that live with eternity in view, that live with a higher eternal purpose, these basically are what? Their lives are committed to the Lord. Preparing, being made ready, choosing, making choices and decisions. So then, the wise took oil. Oil is the enabling, is the grace, is the impartation. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Even the young will get weak. It's Isaiah 40, chapter 40, verse 30, 31. Even the young will get tired. But they that wait, that is, that receive the very life of the Lord, that actively spend time. I will sup with you and you with me. That means the life of the Lord flowing into my life in a direct, active relationship. I maintain that. I spend time. At midnight, there was a cry made, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. They all arose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out, or going out. And the wise answered, not so. So while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. They that were wise, that were ready, went in, and the door was shut. I stand at the door and knock. See, that's the opportunity that we have. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, then I enter into an active relationship of preparation. So I'm either wise or what?
Foolish.
Each one of us. It's not some of us are wise, some are foolish. That's not it at all. Each one of us, we have an opportunity. We're either going to choose to be satisfied, prepare for a bigger... Once in a while I get something in the mail. You know, how to retire with $1 million. Well, I don't want to retire with $1 million because I don't intend to retire. So I don't need $1 million to retire. Because that's living your life for what? The present. For a present satisfaction. That's very elusive, and that's not going to happen. But I'm living my life that someday I'm going to stand before the Lord, and the Lord is going to say, what? Well done. Not much done. Well done. It's not how much I do, it's what I do with what I have. Therefore, the second part of this, verse 14, the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling to agape fellowship. That's the Lord. He came and he called his own servants, that's each one of us. He came to us and he delivered his goods to us. That is the potential, the possibility. We are created in what? In his image and likeness. So the potential for that, his image and likeness is spiritual. It's not natural. That which is born of the flesh, there's a principle. Let's just take a look at that. It's 1 Corinthians, and then we'll come back. Because this is important. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 44. This is usually read at a funeral service. It is sown the natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. But this is far more than material for a funeral. Verse 31. The last part of verse 31, Matthew, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you mark your Bible, underline the last three words. Verse 31, what are they? What does it say?
I die daily.
So this has nothing to do with the funeral service. It's that I'm dying to the potential, to all the possibilities of becoming wealthy and rich in this world. The pastor that I relate to, in Virginia. Name is Pitts, Pastor Pitts. And in Oakton, Virginia. Recently, he's been working with a man in Africa that has the diamond rights in this country, the diamond rights. And he was wanting Pitts, Pastor Pitts, to go into a business arrangement with him. And they would mine the diamonds and become very wealthy. And he was doing it like on a part-time basis. The man came to him about a month ago, 3 weeks ago. He emailed me, and we went back and forth several times, and I met with him and talked to him. The man says to him, you'll become very wealthy, but I need you full-time, which means you'll have to give up the church. the ministry, and spend your life full-time mining diamonds. And he said, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Well, of course, the devil says, well, look at all the money you could give to missions. You know, I've often wondered, you see these signs on billboards, these pots, these things, $40 million. Yeah, the lottery, $40 million. So I could say, Lord, if you'll give me the winning number, I'll give the whole $40 million to you. Does the Lord give out the number?
No.
That would wreck, that would really make a mess of things.
Right.
Money. No, the Lord's not doing that. He's looking for dedicated lives, and he'll provide through that level of dedication. By faith and believing, he'll supply and provide, not $40 million from a lottery. Lord, if you'll give me the number, I'll donate the whole $40 million. I thought that. Wouldn't that be nice? It wouldn't be nice. A young man told me recently, he called me, in fact, yesterday, he was on his way, he called for prayer. He was in South Africa several months ago, and he's headed back. Actually, he went today, and he called yesterday for prayer. He was going back to South Africa. He said the last time he was there, he apologized to the South Africans for the traveling Americans. He said they want a red carpet, they want a guaranteed amount of money, they want a certain amount of exposure, they want publicity, and he said he apologized to them for the traveling America, all these evangelists, these big name evangelists, and not any names attached, but in general, he said he lived, and I've heard this before, he apologized to them for what's happening, with the emphasis in the wrong place. The Lord will provide for his own. So then, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. I die what? Daily. That means I die to the possibilities, like Pastor Pitts. He had to make a major decision. He would have gotten really wealthy, and he's being dropped now and replaced by someone else because he chose the ministry, that which relates to the purposes of God rather than getting rich. And it was a decision. It's not an easy one. When you're under pressure, financial pressure, it's not an easy decision. The last part of verse 44, there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. So I choose to live to the satisfaction and the fulfillment of the spiritual and not the natural, for the outworking of that. That I can come into what I shared this morning, to the fullness of the stature and image, that I'm going to be measured, I'm going to be stood beside Jesus in eternity, and I'll be measured against him. He came to full maturity. On the cross he said, it is finished. He came to full maturity. It is finished. And so I'll be measured against that. There's a natural body, I can be satisfied with all that I can gain in this world, and I'll come short in eternity. I'm pretty sure I told you this. I owned a cable system a good many years ago, and I sold it to go to Bible school, and people told me I shouldn't keep it, and I knew better, because I knew if I kept it, it would rob me, and I sold it. I sold it to a man that was not a Christian, but he had the technical ability to own and operate the business. And I sold it to him, witnessed to him, and he just was not interested. Several years later, he died. I think I shared this. This was back 20 years ago, at least. I'd have to count back. May remember exactly. But we were driving from Florida. We stopped at Son Ronald's. He lived in Columbia. He was teaching at the University of South Carolina. And I had chest pains driving up so bad that I could hardly drive the car. And I thought, I am in trouble. When I get to Ronald's house, I'm going to write a will. And I said, I'm in trouble. When I got there, Ronald said that he was attending the Southern Baptist Church, where the pastor had received the baptism, and still stayed Southern Baptist. And he said he's got, the pastor has three prophets, he's having a conference, but would you like to go, but we'll be about a half hour late. And so that sounded better than writing a will, which I was going to do. I was literally going to do it, because I didn't have one. I thought, I'm in trouble. I could hardly drive the car, the chest pains were so bad. We slipped in, there was about 800 people. We slipped in the side door, we sat back in the back. We were a half hour late. The three prophets are on the platform. One of them interrupted. We come in, sat down, we're sitting there comfortably, way back, 800 people present. One of these prophets said, Pastor, excuse me, the Lord gave me a word for somebody. Could I give them the word? He says, you. I'm looking, no, you. And I said, oh yeah, you, me. Well, next thing I know, I'm up. He says, come up. So I'm up on the platform. We're a half hour late. We're way back in the back. There's at least 800 people there. They were not praying for people. The pastor was up talking. The prophet interrupted him. He knew nothing. I walk up there. There was three of them. The first one said, you have a high calling. And went on and on about the call of God in my life. The second one put his hand right here. He said, you thought you're going to die. You're not. You're going to live. And I got absolutely healed. The third one said several things, but he said, at the end, he said, you will relocate to Washington, D.C. And I thought, Washington, D.C.? But I don't want to go there. Why would I go there? I mean, that's what I thought. I never thought it. I thought, that's strange. Well, I'm there. Lord, thank you, Lord. I'm there. By divine appointment. That was amazing. I was absolutely healed. Now, sometime later, the Lord showed me something. The fellow that I sold the business to died, I think within a week, within days of the time that this that I just shared happened. He died of a heart attack. And I didn't realize that the Lord called my attention to it. He died of a heart attack. He was considerably younger than me. And he died of a heart attack. Right around the same time that they said, you, and I get called up on the platform. And I got absolutely healed. Now, supposing I had kept the business, who would have died? Me. That would have been probably over 20 years ago. I would have been gone. Owning a cable system. So when I stood before the Lord would say, well done, Wade Taylor, you've supplied television to thousands of people. And that would have been just about it. Nothing, what, no books, nothing, anything, all that happened in my life never would have happened. And I marvel when I look back. There is a natural body and there is what?
Spiritual.
A spiritual body. If I'm wise, I'm going to invest in what? Eternity. Higher purpose of God. I'm going to choose that which is spiritually oriented and not that which relates to the natural. I'm going to have $1 million when I retire. Well, that's nice, but I'm not so sure it is. It's far better to choose the will of God. Now, Matthew chapter 25 again. Kingdom of heaven is as the Lord coming to agape fellowship, and he delivered unto them his goods. That's the spiritual potential. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To each man according to his several ability, and he took his journey. Now these talents, a talent here on the surface relates to money, but it's far more than that. It's the spiritual potential that's within us. Now, we all vary in our makeup. Some of us are introverts, some extroverts, some are at different levels of intelligence. We're different. We have different opportunities in life. We have different situations. We have 5, 2, and 1. The one that received 5 spent it. That is maintaining an act. I'll sup with you, you with me. They maintained an active relationship with the Lord. The talent is the spiritual deposit. It's the calling, the purpose of the Lord for my life, spiritually speaking. I wait on the Lord. I receive the very substance, the life of God, where my life becomes the expression of His life, and I allow the Lord to live His life through my life. And I separate myself from anything as much as possible that's contrary to that, and I seek to maintain that level of relationship. 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1, to each according to their ability. We're all different. Now, the devil loves to tell us, remember this morning I shared about the mustard seed? It's not how much you have, it's what you do with what. Remember I shared that? It's not how much you have. The mustard seed is the least of all seeds. So if I have that little, if I'll hold that before God, it'll begin to grow. It'll increase. It'll become a bush. And then, through a mutation, it'll become a tree. Now, that's a change of species. From a bush to a tree, a mustard seed, it became a tree. The birds of the air came. That means that if you've got the goods, Buehler used to say this, Walter Buehler, if you've got the goods, people will find you. They'll come to you. If you have God within your life, people will notice it, and they're going to come and start talking to you. And you'll accomplish more in life, in the marketplace, in life, with the very substance of God within your life than you will standing in the pulpit. Literally. That's right. 5 talents, 2, the 1. 5 come back and now had 10. The one with 2 had 4. The one that had the 1 kept it and said, Lord, I've taken good care of it. I maintained my salvation. And the Lord said, depart from me. Depart. You did not. All you did, I'm happy, I'm rejoicing, I'm saved. And the Lord's going to be careful to maintain that. The Lord said, I'm expecting more than that. I'm expecting your life. We're creating the image and likeness that God can live His life through our lives before mankind. We're going to come to that in a minute. The 5 became 10, the 2 became 4. Now here's what's interesting. In verse 21, the one that received 5 brought another 5, and the Lord said, well done, not much done, not 10. Now you've got 10. He didn't, that's much. He said, what? Well done, good and faithful servant. To the one that had the 2 talents came, I gained another 2. The Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler. If you check these 2 verses, 21 and 23, they're identical. The only difference is 4 talents and 10 talents. Otherwise, the reward is identical. So then, the one that had 5 and gained another 5, the other had 2 and gained 2. It took each one the same amount of effort because of their makeup and their life situation. It took the identical amount of effort, and they're rewarded for what? The effort. Not the number of talents, but for the effort that was expended. I'm maintaining an active personal relationship. Paul said, I press towards the mark. I press towards the mark for the prize. So then, there is a maintaining of an active personal relationship, and I'm going to do that. The reward is identical. So when I make myself available, and I open the door, the Lord will come in to my life. Now the Lord ascended in glory. This same Jesus, just as you see Him go, the Mount of Transfiguration, He was transfigured, He was resurrected, died, and He ascended in glory. Because He ascended in glory, He will return in glory. Now, Isaiah chapter 16, we're going to finish with this. And this is my prayer in Washington, D.C. I believe that I can affect the world in Washington, D.C., as an individual. Every nation in the world, especially in Washington, you'd be amazed how seldom you hear English if you're out walking or talking. Everybody's from someplace. No, hardly anybody is from there. They're all from someplace. And you can, there's a number of languages. Every nation in the world has an embassy. Remember when the Lord began to move to Toronto? People from everywhere flooded to Toronto. Pensacola, they all went to Pensacola. Lakeland, people from all, they flooded into Lakeland. What drew them? They heard that God was moving, and the place overflowed. And they kept getting bigger and bigger place to meet. All three places that happened, because people flooded. So then, if I, in Washington, D.C., meet the Lord, and that door opens, I will come in and sup with you. If the Lord of glory comes, the word says in 2 Corinthians, we can spend a lot of time on this, but we won't. We are changed from what? From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. When the Lord is coming now, he's coming in glory. He came as a baby in his first coming. In his second coming, he's coming in glory. Fully mature. Arise, shine, your lights come, the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee, for darkness shall cover the earth. This is Isaiah chapter 60. Gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall rise upon thee. This is what I want. And his glory shall be what? Seen. And the Gentiles, that word Gentile means sinners. Sinners. The Gentiles will come. The sinners will come to thy light. And kings to the brightness of your rising. That means that if I can enter into a higher level relationship, if that door opens, and the Lord of glory, I'll sup with you and you with me. This is hope expectancy. See, Paul said, I press towards the mark for the prize. And this is what I believe the Lord showed me. What is that prize? Paul said he was born out of a new season. So if you read the commentary, that means he was born too late to be one of the 12. That's what the commentary will tell you. But that's not at all. That's wrong. Cross that off. Throw the commentary away. Paul was apprehended. He was going out to kill Christians. And he was apprehended by the Lord. The Lord appeared in manifest glory, so much so that Paul was what? Lighted by what? The glory. Once you've experienced the glory of the Lord, you'll be ruined forever. I'll guarantee it. You will be ruined once you've stood in the glory of God. Paul was apprehended in visible glory. I'm born out of due season. In the end time, the Lord's going to come and reveal what? His glory. Therefore, when he said he's born out of due season, he's talking about end time glory. He had a foretaste of glory. He was apprehended in glory, and he sought for the glory of the Lord. We're changed from glory to glory. And that was in his life, in his ministry. He understood that, and he shared it about Moses in the burning bush. So then, darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness, the people were there. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, his glory shall be seen. So then, if I'm in Washington, D.C., and the glory of the Lord begins to manifest in my life, the ambassadors, every nation in the world, they're going to come. That's what it said. Kings will come. Ambassadors, they'll come to the what? To the manifestation of the glory in my life. So I'm seeking for that. In expectancy, Lord, I'm available, and I'm asking for that higher manifestation of your glory, that every nation in the world can be touched. I don't have to travel the world. I simply need to stay right there because all the ambassadors are in Washington, D.C. I'm there by divine appointment. So that if the glory of the Lord becomes manifest in my life, what's going to happen? I'm going to touch every nation in the world through the manifestation of that glory. And I'm praying and believing the Lord to bring my life into an alignment that will make that possible. For that glory. Now, how do I know that? 2 Thessalonians, and then we're all finished, chapter 1, verse 10. There's two sides to this coin. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, and verse 10. When people ask me, what's next? What is the Lord doing? he shall come, he shall come. This is the coming of the Lord. The Lord is coming. Not to sneak us out when nobody's looking. He's coming to be what? What is he coming for? To be glorified where? See him the saints. That's next. That hasn't happened yet. But it's going to happen. Because this is the first part. His coming is in stages. He's going to do a lot of different things in his coming. But this is the beginning. And I'm believing that in relation to Washington, D.C., Isaiah 60. The glory of the Lord is risen upon me. He's coming to be glorified within. Now, remember five wise, five foolish? We have that all through Scripture. Those that will commit themselves to that higher, and those that are satisfied with a good meeting. He's coming to be glorified in his saints and admired in all them that believe. The five foolish, they're going to miss. They're going to be a spectator, and they'll sit and admire what's happening. They'll come out of curiosity, but they'll never partake or enter in. Because he's coming for those that are praying like I did. Lord, I want to be a you and not a them. So the yous are going to be filled with glory, and the thems are going to... It's given to you to know, but to them it's not given. And so, five wise, five foolish. We have it all through Scripture. All saved. He's admired in all them that believe. These are Christians. They're saved. The five foolish, they are saved. But they'll never enter in because they're not willing to pay the price of the submission. Now, how do we do that? It's in Romans chapter 12. We are to present our bodies because the Lord's going to manifest his glory through the body. I present my body as what? A living sacrifice to the Lord. And Lord, just as you came and you were born through Mary in your first coming, you're going to be birthed into this world through a corporate Mary in your second coming. So he's preparing a birthing mechanism to release his glory into the world, into this earth, beyond anything this world's ever seen, a corporate Mary. And he's going to birth his presence, his glory. He's coming to be glorified. The coming of the Lord is in two stages. The greatest visitation that this world has ever seen, but parallel to it, the greatest judgment that this world has ever seen. The earth will be cleansed. The unrighteous, the ungodly, just as in the days of Noah, the ungodly were taken out. It's going to happen again. And the ungodly will be removed. And the godly will manifest the glory of the Lord. The earth will be brought into subjection and will enter into the millennial kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's coming to be glorified. Lord, in the saints. Lord, I'm available. And I desire to be amongst the wise in that day and not the foolish. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand together. Each of us, Lord, as we pray this evening, I trust that we can all pray the same prayer. Lord, we want to be a you, both individually and corporately for agape fellowship. We want to be a you and not a them. Lord, we want to be amongst the wise and not the foolish. We want, Lord, to be amongst the saints and not amongst those that simply believe, that miss out, that come short because they've not pressed towards the mark for the prize of your glory being revealed. Help us, Lord, to understand and to enter in to all that you have for us. And we thank you, Lord, as we glorify you. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Help us, Lord, grant it understanding and strengthen us that we can stand against the powers of darkness that would rob us and seek to steal away the reward that Satan wanted and couldn't have. So he's determined to rob it from us. But Lord, we're going to push through and enter in and receive, and we'll be seated with you in that day. and receive the crown. Your life imparted into our lives, that we might become one in you and you in us. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen and amen. Amen. Pastor Ned.
We're going to go ahead and dismiss tonight any who would like to leave, but also if any would like to linger or if you would like to come up for prayer, I just encourage you to do that. Again, I thank each one of you for coming, and may the Lord bless you. If any would like prayer,